You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mon.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Masters of Modern podcast. I'm your host,
Alex. What are you doing?
Cass, the Descendant Mage, and I am now in Modern. Harp!
Cool!
Dissident
Mage.
Dissident.
I'm going to say it wrong a lot. Get ready. Get hyped.
I still don't really understand. It's Dissident Mage?
Yeah, so she's like...
Dissident? Like, she's...
She's a dissident.
Yeah.
She's against the status quo, right? That's what dissident means, right?
Welcome back.
You're crazy.
You're not hyped? This is like...
It's like, this is awesome levels of hype.
This is the second coming of Kess
into
my life.
It's also the second time we've previewed Kess. Well, actually, we didn't preview Kess the first time.
That was just me on Twitter.
You just previewed Kess on Twitter?
Yeah.
I've never gotten an exclusive.
Yeah, and then I did it on the Command Zone. We did a thing about it because it's not Commander focused. So when I was like, hey, Ben, do you want to do this on the episode? And you were like...
Have you seen that card? It's a 5/6 artifact creature. It costs 2. You can only spend artifact mana to cast it. It's called Bateman. They gave it to me.
So, super hyped. For those who don't know, Kess Descendant Mage is 1 red, blue, black for a legendary creature, human wizard. Really exciting. She is still mythic. She's flying. She's a 3/4. And then during each of your turns, you may cast an instant or sorcery card from your graveyard. If a card cast this way will be put into your graveyard, exile it instead.
It is the same returning digital art from Izzy. Beautiful artwork. Really, really, really gorgeous.
Yep. We literally have a print here for those people watching in the stream.
Yeah,
we also have in front of us my triple sleeved commander deck for Kess, ready to show you key cards that are important to play with, as well as these 3 vials of blue liquid that are for 21 and year older.
We also both work for a company. Alex runs it and owns it, called Kess.
Yeah, that makes balls like these drop dot balls that I'm badly hand juggling.
Yes.
This is so are you saying that the Kess drop dot balls are imported from the hellscape of Grixis?
And there are even blue, black, and red ones available right now exclusively at Claire's.
Yes.
Exclusively at Claire's. You can get your ears
pierced. Most demonic retailer in the world.
No, we love Claire's.
We love Claire's. So we're here to talk about Kess. We're here to talk about, this is our Modern Horizons preview. This is an official episode of the Masters of Modern podcast where we talk about Modern.
I am your host, Kess, Dissident Mage.
We should keep a count of how many times you say it incorrectly in the episode.
It's so hard. I know.
Yeah.
Kess Dissident Mage. I said it right.
And I'm Ben Bateman, and you can find us on Twitter at the MMCast, or there's a Facebook group. In fact, I'm just going to throw us to this pre-roll that we do. What's up, guys? Masters of Modern here. I'm Ben Bateman.
I'm Alex Kessler.
And we've got a couple quick shout-outs for you guys that we wanted to remind you of on this episode. The first one is Twitter, at the MMCast. We've had a Twitter for years. It's a great place to interact with us. We post exclusive images of our brand new spoiler cards, all kinds of cool stuff. Check it out, at the MMCast. It is a great way to support the show. Kess, where can the folks find you personally?
I'm at Kess Wiley.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media. The second thing is we have a YouTube. You may be watching this right now, honestly. You might be listening to it. But one of the big pushes for us in 2019 is to build this YouTube channel. We want to get more eyes, more ears, bigger guests, better episodes, higher production quality. We even hired a producer right now. Subscribe, like, comment. It's going really well so far, and honestly, if you guys support it, even if you're an audio listener already, it's a huge thing you can do to help us grow this. The third thing, and maybe the most important thing for our long-term health, is patreon.com/themmcast. Guys, this year is going to have a ton of cool rewards for you. We really want to make the Patreon feel special, and it's a great way to help us grow. Our ability to hire the producer, to get new gear, to do anything cool in the future is going to be dependent on our ability to actually pay for it.
Well, and the producer will help us kind of make sure we stay on stuff on Patreon, so it'll be a really thriving community.
Yeah. Now, the last thing I want to talk to you guys about is the command zone. Jimmy Wong, Josh Lee Kwai, these guys helped us start this thing. Mm-hmm. Collected.company is where you can find their stuff. They're seriously the most professional Magic people in the world, not named Ben and Alex.
Yeah, they make awesome content every week, Commander Focus. They do game nights. They do the Command Zone is obviously the podcast, the sister podcast of the NM Cast. Check them out, collected.company. It's the same place you can find our episodes every week as well.
And the last thing is, if you guys want to check out a great community, check out the Facebook group, the Masters of Modern. There's a ton of people in there. It's very interactive. There are constantly threads about new decks, new conversations. It's very active. Check it out. That's Facebook, the official Masters of Modern group. And otherwise, let's get back to the show. Yep.
Thanks, guys.
But I'd like to point out that I think it's understandable why you mispronounce it, because she is descending a staircase in the art. She is a descendant mage as well as a dissident mage.
If the name of the card was Kes Descendant Mage, I would not have questioned it or thought twice. So it's not really I don't. That's why when you say it, I like double take for a second, and I go to see if there's a letter I missed that saying
it's
wrong.
It's like the perfect word to make me make a mistake on it, which I think is the most Kes possible thing they could have printed. There's like two S's. Like, I could mix that up. The vowels are easy to mix up. That could be an E. Like, there's no way I'm spelling that correctly.
And dissident is not a word that is used in common parlance.
No, it's not.
No.
So it's a sweet preview card.
Yeah.
Thank you to Wizards of the Coast. Thank you so much for providing us with an awesome preview, as you guys always do.
And really just making this card exist.
Yeah, for supporting about it. For community support, obviously totally free of charge, and just for making us a better product. That's so cool to have your support, so thank you guys so much for that. We're in a pretty wild season of, there are spoilers that are coming out, I think, kind of every day. We're in the big season for the Modern Horizons spoilers, a set that is half new cards, half old cards.
So where do you, I have a question, where do you fall into like using the word preview versus spoilers? Because I know that like originally there was like off don't use spoilers, but then YouTube algorithms have made it so spoilers are actually the word to use, and there's like
I never have honestly thought about which is like the better one to use.
I know Blake prefers preview, but has also given up and has just said people can use spoiler because there's no way around it.
And I don't play a lot of Commander. I've actually played like some, and more recently I built like a Commander deck and I went out and I played a few nights. It was really fun. But even beyond that, in Highlander Gauntlet, which is a sweet format that we actually put up a video on our YouTube of everything about it, you can check out. I play this in one of my Gauntlet decks.
Yeah.
I play it in a Grixis like flash counter fairies type of deck, but it's the top end because I refuse to play things that cost more than four.
Sure.
So four is a real stretch for me. But you know, because the deck is all like cantrips and burn spells.
Right. Well, I mean, so the talking the real strategy of why this card is super relevant for Modern, because I do think it actually will make a big difference and kind of brings Grixis back to the table more than any card we've seen in a long time. And I think that's partially because repeatable Snapcaster Mage is a huge value engine. This is a card that sees pretty decent amount of
Legacy play.
And the deck that is playing it, for the most part, is pretty easy to port into Modern. Now, that's a four-color deck, but that's because Deathrite Shaman exists. But, you know, you are only losing some of the key cards, but gaining powerful effects that are almost better in Modern anyways. I would much rather cast Surgical Extraction in the main deck off of Kes, and it's a much stronger card with Kes because you can get double hits off of it the turn you play her, versus Hymn to Torak, for instance.
Yeah.
Because right now, like, and Hymn to Torak is obviously a very powerful card, and maybe in Modern Horizons, we are in the middle of this week of previews, but that seems unlikely and bad.
I really hope it's not.
I'm like casting myself a Hymn to Torak, but I don't think it's appropriate. I think
it'd be bad for Modern. One of the things that's interesting about Kes in Legacy that is not the case in Modern is that we don't have Force of Will in Modern.
Sure.
So obviously, Kes being a blue card, in the same way that having extra Jace the Mind Sculptors historically in Legacy is a good thing, you can pitch them to Force. Which is why we're looking at a Legacy list here that's done pretty well. It was a top eight at Grand Prix Birmingham in 2018. It plays two copies of Kes.
Sure.
But
on the opposite end, like, Legacy is much more of a format where, like, you don't get away with four drops.
Right.
Like, in Modern, Jace is a staple. Teferi, a five drop, is a staple. Bloodbraid Elf, like, Scape Shift. Like, there's a ton of cards in this format that cost four mana. It's a much more allowable casting cost in our format. And I do think where we lose out on Force of Will, like, something that Kes is interesting about Kes is not the best with counter magic.
Yeah.
In fact, when we talk about the counter magic that I think is good to play with her, often it's modal.
Right.
Where something like a Is It Charm or something like a Cryptic Command, I guess we're talking about that now, where on your turn, you can, on your opponent's turn, you can counter a spell, but then if you have it in your graveyard with Kes in play, you can then use it for one of its not instant speed functions. Because the one key thing about her, there's two kind of key things about her ability that are different than other cards, like Snapcaster Mage. One, She doesn't have flash. You can't, you know, you do this during your main phases. You have to do it at sorcery speed. So instant speed spells like counter magic, you can't rebuy on your opponent's turns.
It's actually one of the most awkward play patterns of the card. And I think one of the most effective points of design is to not have given it flash. Like, let's pretend
having flash wouldn't matter. It's just the wording is during each of your turns. So when it's not your turn, you can't use her ability.
Yes.
So because you can cast. So if say I cast Kes and it gets into play and then you want to terminate it and I have two mana, I can remand your terminate to stop it from hitting my Kes.
Right.
Because it's just my turn. I can cast instant speeds at instant speed, just not when you're
on your turn.
It just has to be my turn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's because, I mean, that's definitely the thing. It's like you're playing a blue deck, you know, blue, black, red, and presumably a lot of what you're wanting to do in the deck, I mean, blue is counter spells, that's instant speed. So it's kind of a tenuous relationship, whereas like Snapcaster Mage very much does play with counter magic properly. Like,
sure.
That's the way the card functions. You have to play your deck a little differently here.
There's not that many counter magic spells you need to play with for her to just be fine with them. Like, and some of them are good. Like, for instance, Remand is really powerful with Kes because you can use it to draw cards off of on your turn if you want to. If it's like the only spell in your hand, it has a modal use, but it's good on your opponent's turn at a lower mana cost.
Absolutely.
So there's other cards in the format. Like, you still play with counter magic. I have counter magic in my Kes commander deck, even though it doesn't work with Kes because counter magic is powerful in Grixis. But what you do get is rebuying lightning bolts. You get rebuying terminates. You get rebuying Colgan's command at a level that's easier to even do it than with Snapcaster Mage, because you don't have to, like, every Colgan's command you get two of no matter what, versus a Snapcaster Mage you have to draw both and then or bounce it to your hand or return it once it dies.
I think what I mean when I say it's a more tenuous relationship with instants versus sorceries is that, like, you want every spell in your deck to be an instant if you're a good magic player, because you want to be able to respond to things, like, ideally, right? Not everyone is, so some things are instants, some things are sorceries, right?
Every card would be strictly better if it was at instant speed.
Exactly. So it's interesting when you play a lightning bolt and you hold a red mana open to interact with something, to then flash that lightning bolt back at sorcery speed, tapping out on your turn, not leaving your mana open for, say, the instant you could be bluffing that's in your hand. That's why this card at 4CMC is so interesting to me, and I've struggled to properly play it. It probably makes way more sense in Commander because you have more time. So tapping a bunch of lands, leaving mana open is easier to do.
I disagree with that evaluation. If you have the four mana, if you're playing on turn five, you just want to flash back a lightning bolt, you do it. It's basically letting you draw a card, right? Otherwise, you're just paying a five drop and not doing anything. If you need to hold that mountain up to interact, you just interact. You don't have to spend her ability every turn, and you still have a 3-4 flyer that dodges half the removal in the format.
You mentioned something really interesting there. You don't have to use the ability every turn.
Right, it's like Liliana.
I think that that's, well, but the instinct would be to use the ability every turn, right?
Sure.
Like Liliana, if you plus it to both discard, you might not do that if you have a card you really don't want to discard.
Sure.
Whereas, like, it's every single time advantageous to draw a card, no matter what. Like, using the ability every turn is the best thing to do, but you don't have to do it. And I think it's a trap to fall into. I think it's something to, like, something probably to point out for players.
Right. And I think that's something also, you know, this does increase the value of, you know, the first mana spells you can cast for free, or any free spell, because it allows you to pay with a four drop. And then, you know, I mentioned Surgical Extraction, which is obviously the hottest version of doing this with, but even a card like Gutshot becomes much better in this deck, because you on turn four can play this, and it's now four mana to do two damage to a creature. So it's four life to shock someone, or you wait a turn and you have it for free, or you can get one thing off of it. So
I wonder if this, because, you know, the Is It Phoenix decks traditionally play two Crackling Drake in the four drop slot, and it's a haymaker. It's like you play it and win usually.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if you just play this in that slot, because
I think you can. I don't know if it's like a yes or no, because they both have different reasons they're good, but I think she's very good in the Phoenix deck, because she by herself basically gets you a Phoenix's back. You
right.
Need one other spell.
And she gets the Surgical.
You don't want to play the Drake. I don't think it's a yes or no. I don't think this is just strictly better than the Drake, especially because it puts you into Grixis, but I definitely think it by itself buys Phoenix's back with one other card.
Yeah, so I think, like, let's like jump into a couple of the modern decks where we think this could be played. So you had mentioned Grixis Control.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the first and most obvious place, right? Like some of the cards in Grixis Control, let's just say Serum Visions, make perfect sense with this card. It's like a slam dunk. You untap with this card and you're already way, way, way ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Kolaghan's Command, some other cards like that. What are some of the cards you think, if you were going to play this in Grixis, maybe that wouldn't be as good? Like, what are some things that you don't get as much value off of?
So that's one of the reasons I'm pretty excited. I don't think there are many cards in that deck that get much worse with Kess in it. Like, even the stuff like the Delph spells, like Gurmag Angler, that would want cards to be in your graveyard, and Kess technically removes them from the graveyard as you cast spells with it. Most of the cards you're playing with her that are in that deck anyways are getting you more cards in your graveyard regardless. So you're getting... like, you're buying more cards into your hand that let you cast more spells, let you get your Gurmag Angler in play. And I think turn four, having the choice between the two, you make the right choice depending on the like, what you're fighting against.
I like that it's four toughness as well. Obviously, mm-hmm. for dodging Bolt, but then also for blocking Phoenix.
Right.
I think it being a flyer that can block a Phoenix favorably is pretty strong. That's like really significant.
There's like a few things that she like weirdly dodges, and it's powerful. I mean, the fact that, you know, Abrupt Decay can't kill her, Lightning Bolt, any of the burn in the format that really sees play can't really kill her.
Right.
So she dodges a lot of this really powerful removal spells. Obviously, Path kills her, but Path kills everything.
she dies to Path. She dies to Terminate. Assassin's she dies Trophy. To Assassin's Trophy. Right.
And Dismember.
But yeah. The benefit to her against those cards is if you cast her with six mana in play and you're playing any of the counter magic of the format, she lets you rebuy those on your turn. So they have to do those actions at sorcery speed because you are able to protect her. And then add the fact that you could be playing free counter magic, like the zero mana, what's the you lose the game.
Pact of Negation.
Or other kind of counter magic on that level, which is
Commandeer.
Commandeer. And those are better with Kess than they normally would be in a control shell because A, you're playing a ramp, you want to get more mana into play. B, you're really using it to protect her or protect whatever you're doing. And so later in the game, it's better. And as a one of, getting the value of being able to just protect anything in play is really strong.
It's one of the first powerful humans printed in a Modern in a while that's not going to affect humans. You wouldn't
it
play
might.
This card.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
You would have to play spells. You just wouldn't play.
Yeah, she might as well be a Vedalken Shaman.
Right.
Yeah.
She's a wizard, though, which is she was in the wizard commander set.
Yeah, and they're pushing. I mean, blue and red got support in Dominaria for wizards, so there's more and more of that. And mm-hmm. like, I have to say, playing four lightning bolts, but then also playing four wizards lightning and having this card in your deck seems pretty bonkers. Just like the ability to flash
and
back more lightning
retort.
Bolts.
She makes wizards retort a proper counterspell, even if it's in the yard.
The other thing, and kind of a piece, speaking of lightning bolt and Snapcaster Mage, which is what I'm now speaking of, getting just two extra copies of Snapcaster Mage in your deck that are functionally not worse. Like Kess is not strictly worse than Snapcaster Mage. They have different uses. She's a better card advantage engine lets you burn your, like, you can play Counterburn or Grixis Counterburn really well with those two cards in the deck together, because like just every lightning bolt or you play, you know, the wizard retorts, all of those are now like you get 16 copies of lightning bolt in your deck.
That's crazy.
That's a lot. And you're just, and that's just by playing four of those cards, and you get to like be a great control deck otherwise.
You mentioned Bolt and Snap, and so this is something interesting to think about, right? If you end of turn flash in Snapcaster Mage to flashback Lightning Bolt, you've spent three mana. Mm-hmm. You untap, and now you have a two-power creature on the ground. So sure. If unblocked, it's cost you three mana on their turn that you mm-hmm. didn't spend on your turn to generate potentially five damage if they don't have a way to block your 2/1, right? This card, you spend an extra mana on your turn, so four instead of three. You untap. Now you're able to flashback the same Lightning Bolt, except it's on the next turn, and you attack for three in the air. It represents, if not messed with, six damage on the untap if you have one Lightning Bolt, which, like, in a lot of the decks that are going to be just, like, tempoing out on velocity, mm-hmm. that's going to pretty much just end the game.
Right.
It's basically Bolt, Snap, Bolt, except you have a 3/4 flyer instead.
Instead of a 2/1 ground pounder.
And the exciting thing about Kess versus Snapcaster Mage is if you play her properly, she's a Snapcaster Mage who then, if not answered, generates a Snapcaster Mage every turn from
right. Like, yeah, that I think she's like just on that game plan is powerful. The next deck I wanted to talk about is Storm. That's classically one of the more powerful things people do with it in Commander, to the extent that it's not fun to play that deck in Commander because people get annoyed at you because it's Commander. but like, and even outside of necessarily dedicated Storm decks, she's with a ritual, she's very powerful. The fact that you get off of any of the two mana for three mana ritual almost a Seething Song out of the deal because you get two mana above it is really strong, and she can take advantage of it. Not to mention, we haven't even talked about it, but Mana Morphos with this card is insane.
Now you can cast a card from your graveyard, and if the cost reduction is there on like a delve spell, you can cast it for its cost reduction.
Correct.
Right?
You're casting it. It's not like flashback. So it's something we should talk about is how it's different than flashback.
Yeah, it's relevant.
Go ahead. The one you just mentioned is, you know, it's not this card has flashback equal to its converted mana cost, which is what Snapcaster Mage does. It's you can cast this spell out of your graveyard, and then let me read the exact words. If a card cast this way would be put into your graveyard, exiled instead. And so Delve works with her, Replicate works with her, stuff with Buyback works with her. Anything that like you can add stuff to its casting costs. Overload, you can overload spells with
Kicker.
Kicker, all of that works.
Does I feel like I'm remembering playing against a Snapcaster Mage and a Logic Knot. If you flashback Logic Knot, you can't delve cards away.
No, you can
with right?
Delve. I think Delve is different than...
Delve is the same, yeah.
Because Delve is an after the cost. So you set how much... Say you're going to Logic Knot for 3. So the casting cost becomes 5. And then Delve says you may exile cards to help pay for it.
Got it.
Okay. So like you can Convoke with Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah.
Similar. The other thing that's important about it, different than Snapcaster Mage, is the way flashback works is no matter what happens, that card gets exiled. If you cast a card for flashback, at the end of it resolving, if it's countered, if anything happens to it, if it goes back to your hand, if it gets remanded, exiled. When Kess casts a spell, if your opponent remands a spell cast with Kess, you just put it into your hand. If you play a spell with buyback, which is the main way to kind of accomplish this on your own, you can have a card like Reiterate, which is the fork with Split Second, in your graveyard, cast it, buy it back to put it back into your hand. And in fact, you can go infinite mana with that and any ritual that generates more than 10 mana, I think it is.
I mean, that's pretty significant with increasing the red increasing Vengeance.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you can cast it for just 2 out of the yard with her, but get your double, you know, your 3 copies or whatever,
right,
from casting it from your graveyard.
Well, and yeah, so like increasing Vengeance, there's the red fork that does that. That is that Vengeance?
What's the
black one, the tutor?
Increasing ambition
is really good.
Double tutor.
Double tutor for just 5 mana, yeah.
The blue one is mill, so that one's less impressive.
Because the cards state that if you cast them from your graveyard, they double the...
Yes, and then you can cast it for...
And you don't spend any mana to get the initial flashback, like on a Snapcaster, so it's much more executable. You know what I was thinking about? We talked about this a little bit on the preview, and I actually, on an airplane last week, messed around with the Dreadheart Arcanist with Become Immense.
Okay.
Like the whole lot, like 13ing on turn 3.
Oh, yeah, the new 2-drop red 1/3 that lets you cast when it attacks spells.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what about playing 4 Dreadheart Arcanist and a couple, 2 or 3 casts in that same deck with Noxious Revival and Faithless Looting? And so just like, you just like set up, and then you could even play, what's it called? Revenge of the Hunted, mm-hmm, the Miracle 6-drop, as like, another way to get 7 power.
The Phyrexian Mana spell that doesn't get mentioned very much outside of Stompy decks and, in fact, is the Pump one, too.
Mutagenic Growth,
which is really good in this deck. And yeah. So I do think there's like a cool cast Stompy with those two cards. Like, you're already going to want to play, what is the card? Thought Scour, like all these cards are already good in that deck.
Looting.
Charm's really good in that deck because you can
discard
stuff for Delve if you want to.
Well, you mentioned like you can counter their spell, and mm-hmm, then on your turn, flashback is a charm for its modal cost of Looting. You get like both sides of it, which is pretty dope.
But notably, Dreadhorde Arcanist is also a wizard. So now you have Snaps, Kess, and Dreadhorde are all wizards that are reducing the cost of your Wizard Lightning and Wizard's Retorts.
Well, and like, you know, as we're talking about this, one thing to keep mentioning, and we keep bringing it up, Kess is aggressive. Like a 3-4 flyer, there's a reason that I want to put Restoration Angel in every deck
I've
ever built.
Exactly.
And she guarantees so much more value than Restoration Angel ever did. You don't have to figure out how to like make Wall of Omens in a format work. So I think that like an aggressive version of this deck is really interesting. And there's just, yeah, we, you know, both of them are wizards, so you get all the lightning bolts. Another card that, like, you know, of our preview cards behind us, Claim to Fame is actually also really interesting with Kess, just from the fact that she lets you buy the front end of Aftermath cards from your graveyard, or if she's not around, you still get the aggressive bottom half. So in that deck, for instance, that's pretty good because
yeah,
you're now playing black and red. You get to pump the Arcanist with Claim, or reanimate it if they kill it with Claim.
Yeah, I do wonder...
Fame and Claim.
Like, So in that same deck, because you're playing black already, you're very likely playing 4 to 6 hand disruption spells, because the whole idea of getting a Thoughtseize down on turn one and an Arcanist on turn two and attacking and flashing back Thoughtseize is like nuts. Just like,
speaking of him to Torak.
Yeah, that seems really good. Well, so
that's, I guess, something we didn't mention earlier in the control conversation is just, this card is nuts with Thoughtseize. You cast Thoughtseize on turn 1 through 3 to make sure that they don't have a way to stop Kess. On turn 4, you cast Kess, and on turn 5, you Thoughtseize them again, or just on turn 5, you get both.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, good job. You're not playing Magic ever again.
Yeah, really, really good. I also start to think, too, like, so I wonder how many multicolor cards you could start to get into a deck that wants to get value out of the graveyard before starting to play, like, What's the stupid black cold snap free spell? Is it Soul Spike?
Soul Spike.
Like, I wonder, like,
I don't know what that card does.
It's exile. You may exile 2 black cards from your hand rather than pay its mana cost. It's a 7 cost instant.
6, I think. I think it's black 4, and it's 4 to any target you gain 4. You drain, gain 4.
Okay.
But it's a burn spell.
Sure.
And it just makes me think, like, this is not a black card, but it's a black card, right?
Is it discard,
like,
or exile?
Exile. Sadness. Yeah, which is worse.
Yeah.
But it does make me start to think, like, if you're going to get a lot of value and you're just going to keep drawing cards out of your graveyard with, like, a Kess and, like, Kolaghan's Command and stuff like that, I do start to wonder, with so many powerful multicolor cards being printed, does that ever start to be a thing? Like, that's a card that I've always wondered, because it's so cost prohibitive, it's so expensive.
Well, there's so much card advantage attached to this card that just getting your hand filled. The next deck archetype I did want to describe, because I know we're running a little bit out of time, or I lose you, and we'll figure out where we're at, is the extra turns deck. So classically, that's mono blue, but you kind of go infinite if you untap with Kess in play in that deck. I don't think you don't. Like, I think from that point on, you have enough extra turns cards in your deck that you just keep flashing them back. You get 2 out of each one.
On turn 4, you play Kess, and on turn 5, you play a 5th land. Then you play
Time Warp.
Take an extra turn, untap, flash back Time Warp. Now, at that point, you have spent all of your mana on back-to-back turns, so having another Time Warp to play after you've played 2 Time Warps is not guaranteed, but it's also not totally unlikely.
You're playing so many extra turn cards in the deck, and you're getting lands in the play, and you're drawing extra cards. Because the other thing those decks do is they play, like, Howling Mind Effects and stuff like that to make it so that...
Just for you to add, the buyback card, Walk the Eons, which is a very unique and interesting effect with Kess that you were explaining to me.
Yeah, so because of the buyback effect, it was on top, it's no longer there. Marshall has it in front of us.
Yeah,
it's walk up on the screen.
But walk for people that aren't on audio, it's blue 4, take an extra turn, and its buyback is sacrifice 3 islands, right?
Yeah, correct. So I don't think you play with too many of these in this deck, but I do think the fact that you get to get 3 infinite copies theoretically, but 3 turns off of those 3 islands with Kess. So you cast it once regularly, you then have it in your graveyard, you then sack 3 islands as you cast it out of your graveyard to then be able to cast it one more time with Kess. And that hopefully you play islands on each of those turns to ramp back up, so you're never kind of really down on islands based on how many turns you're taking. So by itself, it can kind of continue that chain pretty far down the line.
It's definitely pretty fascinating that card, even just as a one of in the extra turns Kess deck, very likely can result in 4 extra turns if you just, like, run kind of hot on what you're drawing.
Yep.
Now, you do have to play super heavy blue, but you probably are anyway. Like, Cryptic Command is probably a card you want to be playing with Kess.
The deck's currently mono blue, right? So, and sometimes it's blue black, but adding splashing red and blue off of island lands, like you have Steam Vents and Watery Graves all day, and you're fine.
The Tango lands and the Cycle lands, if you wanted them.
And Part the Veil, like, currently that deck has been playing Part the Veil as its main control finisher.
Part the Water Veil. This is a win con on its own.
Yeah, you don't need the Part the Water Veils anymore because she is an extra turns card by herself, basically.
Because she comes down on turn 4, and then literally, if they don't interact with you and your chain starts going off, now you've got your win condition already swinging by turn 5, which doesn't really mean you have to go, you don't have to spend that many turns to win the game.
And you can tap away threats that have, with Giga Drowse, obviously, but then you don't have to pay her on turn 4. Just halfway through the turn, you're going off, and once you get to the point where you normally cast Part the Water Veil, you have the 10 mana you need to be able to animate a land. Instead, just cast her and cast one of the spells you already cast in your graveyard.
So my next question is, on a basic, just like an evaluation of the power level, and is it or is it not safe for Modern? So we haven't played with this in Modern yet. We don't know what else is in the set. Obviously, this is printed in a cycle
over a couple of years of these really high-powered mythic legendary creatures to, in Commander product, right? This, in fact, to this point, the only version that exists is this foil version, right? This
is so one of the reasons I think I shot called this on the Command Zone when I guessed it on talking about what cards could be in Modern Horizons, and one of my reasons for it is because up to this point, this card has been a tournament playable card without non-foil copies, which we've talked previously about is problematic in tournament play because foils peel or curl.
They warp, and so it's marked. They have to give you basically a stand-in proxy at a tournament to play this card.
Yeah. I'm so excited that all of my commitment to this card existing is just going to... Now I get to talk about Kessel Modern, Masters of Modern. Well, all these, like, what's your favorite card has been weird because I have, like, well, my favorite card's a commander card that isn't, like, relevant to the podcast that I have. Now I've come together. I'm complete. I'm the perfect version of me.
You are the quoted.
Well, now I need Tappy Toad Claws, who did my logo on Twitter right now is a picture by her of me as Kess juggling drop dot balls. You can go look at that right now. I almost also printed that out giant size. But now I just need to make a cosplay. Hopefully she can help me figure that out.
I mean, I feel like now your destiny is to get an altered art of Kess with your drop dots.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to do a mat with the art that she get made, which will be cool. And then, I need a cosplay. I need to figure out how to make this happen.
So a couple quick things.
Internet cosplay people, help me, help you, help me make this happen.
So a couple quick things before I jump, because I got to get out of here in a second to go watch John Wick 3, which I'm super hyped about, because the screening starts in 30 minutes.
You know, this episode comes out 2 weeks from now, so everyone's seen it already.
Yeah, that's not cool at all. So two things that I wanted to talk about. The first one is...
Shot called John Wick before everyone else, so we have it on record. What happens? Does he die?
No.
Okay.
My first thought is the power level of this seems appropriate for Modern. Seems exactly balanced. Of the ones that they picked... Of the ones that they picked, like from old sets and whatnot to reprint, I feel like this is kind of exactly right. Mm-hmm. I'm the most satisfied with this one. I was thinking about some of the other cards printed in these products, like, you know, Brea is another card that gets a lot of play, mm-hmm. right? Like Leovold's card that sees a lot of play. Although I think that's Conspiracy originally, but
I think, you know, based on previous episodes, we did like, what do we think is going to be in Modern Horizons? And this episode's unique because we're recording this before we know anything. The set's not out yet. What's today's date? May 13th. And we're all out of town, so we're recording it now. But one of the interesting things about it, and more we've seen kind of responses of people what the set's going to be publicly, like Mark Rosewater on his Tumblr was talking about where this came from, and it was they just wanted to make Time Spiral 2 is like, I think really what it is it's not necessarily like... anything other than that, and they know that they could never do that again for Standard, but it's one of the best sets, beloved by you, it's your favorite set of all time,
future set.
It's probably my favorite set
too. Yeah, favorite block, but like for new players it's not good, so it can't ever be in Standard. And with that in mind, I don't feel like Wizards is going to want to just like snap Modern in half. I think they're going to be a little bit more tepid, and I do think this is the exact type of power level of a card where it's really exciting for me personally. And I'm all that matters here. It's really exciting, but it also isn't going to break it in half. It's a safe 4-drop creature that there's infinite removal to get rid of, but offers a lot of cool, exciting, different things that happen.
So the other thing I want to mention really quickly before I get out of here, and then I'm going to leave Alex and Marshall to wrap it up, is we talked about this 2 weeks ago on the show, and we're just going to bring it up quickly each episode, because as we ramp up to Vegas and GP Seattle, I want to remind everybody of it. And I say it because I play this card in Highlander Gauntlet, literally, mm-hmm. Which is a power level in that format and in the deck I play it in, not too far from Modern, honestly. Like, I can't play Twin in that in Modern. I can play it in that deck, but in general, a lot of the same things are there. And so I've gotten a pretty good sense of how this card will function with the power level we deal with.
Right.
But that format is called Highlander Gauntlet. So the quick elevator pitch on it is that it's 6 100 card decks. There are no repetitions between the six. It's a 1v1 format, and the reserve list is the banned list. We're actually going to be running the very first sanctioned tournament ever. In Vegas at GP Vegas in August with Channel. We're really excited about it. Alex and I have our gauntlets built. You can go watch a full video with me and Eric Wydatz, one of the originators of the format, on this channel. We dropped it a couple weeks before this. Talking about the format, there's some deck techs we're working on you guys are going to see as well. Yeah. And I believe Alex and I are both going to be in Seattle for GP Seattle, the weekend of around June 20th, probably playing in that Modern Horizons event. We'll have our gauntlets there. So if you want to give it a shot, you want to build something, even just the first half of your gauntlet, try it out. Come hang out with us. Play some games. We really, really want to see a turnout in Vegas. And, you know.
And we'll be jamming spells in general. So we'll have modern decks. We'll have commander decks. I'll have Kess built and ready to fight you now with Nexus of Fate. And possibly, I think I got the artist proofs. They're in the way. So I'll have all four and it'll be great. It'll be fun. So I'm super excited. But yeah, and in Highland Gauntlet, one thing that I think it's really good for is, you know, if you have a cube already, it's really easy to get into it. You just kind of separate the cards into six archetypes that you want to play with. It's already singleton. The other thing that I think it, you know, something that is a key to the format is if you and someone else play a lot of Magic together or are on the road a lot or are just kind of like, but you don't want to just jam the exact same two decks against each other every single day, it gives a lot of variety to Magic play in a really competitive setting.
Yeah, which is why it was created originally. It's like, that's the most fun, is if you play with one person a lot, you guys build your gauntlets, you get infinite numbers of games, and
we spent like 6 hours in Minneapolis last week where we were just like stuck in our hotel room with nothing to do because it was late at night, but we didn't have to do anything, just jamming games. And it, like, yeah, we play it, you can play for hours. It's really fun.
So yeah, so check it out. Get hyped. I gotta get out of here. I'm gonna leave it to these guys to finish up, but thanks for listening, thanks for watching, and I'll see you guys all soon.
All right, so Ben had to leave because he has to go see John Wick 3, a movie we all saw 3 weeks ago. But as a special treat, I'm going to reveal for the first time our producer in chief, Marshall James, on video on the podcast. This is Marshall. This is what he looks like. You may have seen him on previous things that we've done or his own podcast.
I was going to say, I believe I have actually been on the show before.
But have you been on the video version?
Only people who watch the stream may have seen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. With the little peeks in on the stream side. Because you've been on episodes since the very second episode ever.
That's right.
You were on the second episode.
I learned that I was on the second episode ever.
Yeah, so we did the set review for Khons of Tarkir block.
Oh my gosh.
That's how long ago this podcast has been going.
What a set. I believe we
said, from Khons to Kess.
I believe we said the enemy fetch lands were going to be a thing.
That, they, you know, and sometimes you shot call it.
Yeah.
So to continue the conversation on things that Kess.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
So, I mean, it's really exciting that it's Snapcaster Plus, which is really cool. The thing, so right now, the modern deck that I'm most hyped on, that I spend the most time like tweaking, is Mystical Teachings with Wilderness Reclamation.
Okay.
And I think a four color build with Wilderness Reclamation, I mean, the fact that Wilderness Reclamation doubles your mana on your turn.
Right.
Or it just allows you to reset your mana on your opponent's turn. So given the fact that Kess, you know, she makes it to where you only get to cast extra spells on your own turn, but it doesn't say when on your own turn. So they can be during your end step when right. You floated a bunch of mana.
The fact that you can play her, have it untap your mana, and then get to cast any instant spell you have in your graveyard as long as it is relevant. So,
like if you roll out the... If you just force out the Wilderness Wreck on turn four, like they went shields down and you're like, the worst thing you can do to me won't kill me, and just force out the Wilderness Wreck. And then the following turn, you can just cast Kess, untap, and now you're like in total control, which really excites me. And another cool card that I've gotten a lot of excitement for is Hieroglyphic Illumination, which is obviously great with Kess.
Oh, right.
Because you can cycle it early and then later when Kess is in play... really get the value out of just casting the Hieroglyphic back.
Well, and a card that people really wanted us to talk about that we didn't get a chance to on the set review for the newest set, War of the Spark, is the Hexproof Amass card.
Lazotep's,
because A, it protects her. B, you get creature value out of it. So that's something also I think that like we didn't really talk about with Ben too much is just token makers are good with her. Like anything that you can just buy back to get token spells into play, you get twice, you know, you can use that as an extra value.
Yeah, and it's like really nice because Lazotep Plating not only protects her, but also later on protects her from edict effects. So Liliana or Liliana's Triumph, mm-hmm. you now have an amass token you can sack, right. So you don't have to sack Kess.
And those get, like the second one gets it bigger, so you can kind of keep using it and you gain value off of it. I think that's like, before I knew this was a card that existed, I was more off of that card. But then with this coming into the format, I got more excited. Yeah. And so some fun facts about the card that I forgot about and now I'm remembering, kind of the design history. So the card that this is based off of is Caridor. So during the design of the card, they were like, well, I just want to make Caridor for spells. And this is where they got to.
Oh, yeah. Caridor's a 3/4. That's three color and lets you interact out of the yard.
So its ability is it gets cheaper for every card you have in your graveyard. It costs three. It costs black, white, green, and five. And then it becomes cheaper for every card you have in your graveyard. That counts
towards creature card,
I think. Every creature card in your graveyard, and then you can cast a creature card from your graveyard once every turn. So they wanted to do a spell version of that, which is where Kess from. The other thing is Mel Lee, who used to work at Wizards, informed me this at GPLA. So apparently the name, and she was one of the people that came up with it, came from, she had a professor called Professor Kessler who juggled during class and while riding a unicycle. And this is where...
Oh man, you could totally alter the art of Kess, because she looks like she could be here. This could be a pedal, and her foot back here is back. Like, it does look like she could be pedaling.
Yeah, I think she saw that. It was like, oh yeah, it's a juggling unicyclist. I had a professor that did that. Bam.
Wow. So Kessler was the inspiration. Just not this Kessler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to meet that professor and thank him and learn how to juggle better.
I mean, this is really exciting. I mean, like, Modern Horizons, the fact that a commander card is now confirmed to be in Modern Horizons means that all of the commanders are now up. Like, would Caridor be broken in Modern? No, I don't think so.
I think Caridor is high on my list of cards I would love to see added to Modern. I've, like, always loved what that card does. It's probably one of my favorite commanders that I don't have a deck currently built for, because I like leaned really hard into only having two color decks. So that has changed over time.
And now they printed Mirren of Clan Nel'Toth, who's basically just better.
Right. But I do think that, like, yeah, there's a lot of really cool cards out there. I'm really excited to see what other people are coming out with right now. Obviously, there's a bunch of previews today that we like.
Yeah, what if yesterday they previewed Caridor and we're like, just sitting here going, oh, would it be nice?
That'd be sweet.
Spoiler, we have no idea whether or not Caridor is in there, but that would be cool.
Any shot calls from the past?
Oh, any shot calls that I think are going to be in? Oh, man.
We're time capsuling. So we like look really dumb as soon as we say the things, or we look like geniuses.
Like, when I started playing Magic competitively, like, I've been playing since back when Fallen Empires was like the hot new stuff. But I started playing Magic competitively with Apocalypse. And so I've always had sort of an infatuation with that set. So I would love to see, like, Spiritmonger, Vindicate, Pernicious Deed. I mean, I don't know if Pernicious Deed's too strong, but it's...
I don't think it is. I think it would be fine.
And, like, I don't think Vindicate is too strong, other than they may not want another Stone Rain. But, like, Molten Rain is already in Modern, and Molten Rain isn't...
He's one deck Ponza, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they could put Vindicate in.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think I've always been, like, a big fan of, like, Spiritmonger. Like, I don't think he'd see any play in Modern, but that would be a sweet...
Right.
A sweet option.
I think Flusterstorm is still a card that I think would be really good for Modern. I think just a one mana better than Spell Pierce situation, and this is the only type of set they could ever print that in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's going to be really fascinating. I'm really excited to see what's going to be in the set.
Yeah. Like, as far as commander cards.
Toxic Deluge.
I really hope not Toxic Deluge. Okay. I think that's too much.
Card that we didn't talk about now that I'm cycling through stuff. Ashiok is really dope with Kess, because you can mill yourself the five cards and basically draw five cards, and then the next turn play Kess to play those cards while exiling your opponent's graveyards and preventing them from searching for things. I just have this list of cards I forgot. Another one that hasn't seen a lot of play I'm excited for, Mission Briefing. So that's the blue-blue... I'm just going to read it. Surveil 2, then choose an instant or sorcery card in your graveyard. You may cast that card this turn. If that card will be put into your graveyard this turn, exile it instead. So it has a very similar wording to Kess's back end, so all the shenanigans you might want to do. But it kind of gives you just extra pieces of Kess to be able to use. Plus, you can use Kess on this to get to a, like, Surveil 2 if you don't have cards in your graveyard or you want to use it as a filter.
Yeah.
So it's just like a little bit of extra oomph. And then we didn't really talk about Faithless Looting, but this is another deck that Faithless Looting is insane. Surprising no one.
And, you know, and she makes cards like even things like Thirst for Knowledge, like cards where you have to discard cards as the drawback,
right,
are not so bad when Kess is your
drawing extra every one of those spells. Yeah. And like Jace Fringe Prodigy is also really good with her, I think.
And another wizard.
And it adds redundancy, right? Like, if you're building an engine where Kess is a main piece of it, but you want to have Kess 5, 6, and Snapcaster Mage isn't exactly what you want, he's really good. Not to mention the fact that his looting ability lets cards get into the graveyard again that Cass and him can buy back into the future.
It is interesting. There could be a really interesting, almost new kind of aggro Grixis Wizards deck.
Yeah, with those three, like all, like with
Arcanist and Snaps and even like possibly Adelies.
Right.
It's like Adelies, like if unanswered, like puts the game away real fast.
Well, the fact that Jace can attack still, right? Like the fact, yes, it's a 0/2, but this is a deck where we're talking about playing Become Immense and
mutagenic growth.
So like just making Jace bigger. And
Gift of the something, the miracle.
Yeah, that was the one I was less hot on, but I do think Claim to Fame is really good.
Yeah, well, I
and that's because you get Jace back.
I hadn't even thought about Claim to Fame with Dreadhorde Arcanist. That's yeah. like really sweet that you can claim the Arcanist and then fame him to attack and then
draw another spell. Yeah, they're like really good together.
Because it gives him +2/+0, so then you can cast Wizard Lightning, which has the default cost of 3. If you fame your Dreadhorde Arcanist, then you can attack.
That's an insane play. We should have talked about that when we were talking about it.
Or you can attack, or you can cast your Culligan's Command.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of 3 mana cost things that if you claim flame.
This deck's sweet. We need to build this. Like, I wish we live.
Not to
more.
Overshadow Kess, but just a Rakdos Claim Fame Arcanist deck.
Well,
sounds good.
I think one of the reasons it's exciting now, or more than it was before, is it's just him by himself is medium. Because it's every time there's like a one piece combo that kind like makes your engine work, but if you don't draw it, everything gets much worse is problematic. But the fact that we have him, Jace Friend's Prodigy, Snapcaster Mage, and Kess all now available that all kind of do the same thing in different ways.
And they all happen to be wizards.
And they're all wizards, so you get to take advantage of all the really cool wizard tribal effects. You get to take advantage of Cavern of Souls.
Yes.
Making all of your spells uncounterable, all your creatures uncounterable. Like, there's a lot of really cool stuff here that I'm excited to try out.
Yeah, I mean, I think likewise there might be a real discard focused deck that could play like a blue black where the red is just your splash to play Kess, but you're spending the first several turns, you know, thought seizing and wrench minding your opponent, and then you lay down Kess, and then she is like threatening to kill them, and every turn that they sit on cards, you're stripping their cards away.
How do you beat Liliana the Veil into Kess? If I cast Thought Seize into 2-drop, into Liliana of the Veil, into Kess, discarding spells that I can then drop play off of Kess, like just a Grixis version of Jund. Like replace the green, which Tarmogoyf is bad now anyways, and Bloodbraid Elf for Kess for like I'm terrified.
I think that's
of
the
that
beginning
deck.
Of a list right now. Take out the Tarmogoyfs, put in the Arcanist,
right?
Because they cost the same.
Yep,
they both want a fill graveyard.
Thoughtseize is really good with Arcanist.
Oh my gosh, Thoughtseize with Arcanist. Yeah, the fact that you can claim flame, even Thoughtseize, it's just...
Well, this is why I'm so excited about power levels, cards of this power level, is we've come up with 7 decks on this episode, maybe more, just off of the top of our heads, not even with, like, the internet's collective strength of coming up with deck lists. We haven't gotten into the fact that, like, Expansion Explosion is good with this card as well, or...
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm really hot on Rao Storm Conduit in Modern, because I feel like Rao feels like, hey, we heard you guys wanted a replacement for Splinter Twin. What if we gave you a Planeswalker who combos with Fork spells?
And I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, but, like, then you run one or two of her, and now...
Well, I mean...
Because
the
reiterate
game plan with her as well is also really good because you can reiterate
out of the yard
and bring it back or
increasing
vengeance. Does increasing vengeance just go infinite by itself with her in play?
And well, it's so doing damage? Increasing vengeance says copy target spell twice if you cast it from the graveyard. But if you're playing some sort of strange turns brew and you have 7 mana and you're like time warp and I will increasing vengeance it out
twice.
Of the yard.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no way you lose when you're getting 3 turns in a row with Kess in play.
Yeah.
And Kess, in this situation, doesn't have summoning sickness
because
she's been around.
Well, and so, like, when I previewed Kess on the Command Zone, or I previewed it on Twitter, and then I guessed on the Command Zone to talk about it, the deck I kind of built to start out was an extra turns deck. And the problem I had there was, A, extra turns in Commander, no one has fun, but B, there's just not a lot of duplicates. Like you eventually just kind of run out of cards. Like there are enough because there's tons of extra turns Commander decks. But in Modern, there's like 4 that you need, and if you're playing 4 of each of them, that's 16 cards out of your deck, and the rest of them can just be interaction. I think you can go up to almost 30 extra turns cards and just like Kess and Giga Drowse and Cryptic Command, which is basically an extra turn card.
I think another thing to think about Kess is, you know, right now we're dealing with the effects of Teferi Time Raveler in Modern.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Teferi just does also is just really hate on other control decks. In a way, Kess does that too. If you have Kess in play and you have the mana untapped and you have counterspells in your yard, like, it's just no point in trying to fight you in a counter war on your turn.
Yeah, you can just cast combo effects.
And you mentioned earlier Pact of Negation. Once Kess is in play and there's a pact in your yard, your opponent's like, what's the point of fighting you on your turn?
Right.
So you essentially are faking a Time Raveler.
Out of like something like Storm or even Ad Nauseam, both of those decks where they're just like, I need protection on my turn, she adds an entire new layer of being able to get those effects. I do think she's actually really good in Storm. I think that's the place that I kind of was underrated on when I came into the podcast or thinking about cards. But the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, she does a lot. Even if you just rebuy a ritual with her on your turn, like getting you to the point where you go off with Storm, she's really good in that deck.
And it's nice because the ritual also allows you to power out Kess earlier.
Right.
So that if you wanted that turn where you're going to lay down Kess and cast a card, that seems like a rough cast. I'm just going to tap out, spin three, three cards to get Kess into play and say go, and you're going to terminate it, and I'm going to feel terrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that in Storm. but yeah, I think that it...
But she seems like a great sideboard card.
Right.
Because when they're siding out, oh, it's Storm, so I'm going to side out on my creature kill. Well, I'm going to side in Kess, who helps me stay on the Storm plan and also have a win condition.
Well, and like against when we talked about Phoenix, the fact that she's a 3-4 blocker, so she blocks a Phoenix basically eternally, and top of that, she can rebuy Surgical Extractions just for funsies the turn she comes into play is like, how does Phoenix beat that?
or dredge.
Yeah,
like she blocks a Prized Amalgam
real good.
And since Prized Amalgam is about as big as dredge creatures get, like, she'll block all of them, they just go real wide. Right.
She's sad that Stinkweed Imp just blocks her forever. Best blocker in Magic.
Hey, what if we made a universal blocker that had Death Touch and also could always be bought back for free?
Yeah, and draws you cards every time you
draws you five cards every turn. Like, think about if Stinkweed Imp was still the same thing, but it only had like Dredge 2. You know, like,
It could still see play. That's like the one card that I think is like close to playable without the. I mean, the five is the reason it sees play. It's interesting. It's interesting that none of the Dredge cards.
Because, like, even Dark Blast only sees marginal play because it's Dredge 3.
Yeah. Loam is insane, so that's fair that it sees play on Dredge 3. It's interesting that most of the cards they printed with Dredge don't do very much, which I think the point was that they were afraid of people just rebuying and that being the play pattern that's annoying, not the fact that their Dredge is, like, 12 and lets them get a bunch of cards into their graveyard.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm always surprised that they didn't go for more of, like, a grindy value version of the format or the mechanic, and we'll never see it again because it's
really interesting that Dredge like is costed on those cards as if it's somehow a drawback, but it's not enough mill for it to be a draw. Like, for it to be enough mill for it to be a drawback, Stinkweed Imp's Dredge needs to be Dredge 12.
Yeah,
where I'm like, I'm getting a big surge, but I can't do this too many times. Yeah,
one Stinkweed Imp is the best card ever printed, so it's like, that's the problem with Dredge, right? There's no... Well, what they should have done is it just should be Dredge 1 and Dredge 2. Like, Dredge 1, Dredge 2 is a benefit to the Dredge player, and that's... It's not a cost. It's a... If you costed it as a benefit, it's better off. Why don't we go in this deep dive on Dredge during a cast episode? You tell us, people on the podcast. Yeah, I think that's it for the episode. I mean, it's been really exciting previewing the best card ever printed.
Yeah,
given
how strong she is with like Kolaghan's Command and Cryptic Command, I'm really looking forward to seeing. Surely there's going to be modal spells in Modern Horizons, and bring them on.
Oh,
bring
yeah,
on all the charms,
right? And that's
all the commands.
The one recommendation is that like it is a trap to think that counter magic is bad with her. Because I think just like you're playing good, like counter magic is good. A lot of people are like, oh, but I can't rebuy it with Kess at a time that's relevant. No, it like when you counter magic on your opponent's turn, it's still going to be good to do it. You normally don't get to rebuy those cards anyways. And the fact that Kess makes it on your turn even better is a strength. And I think that a lot of mistakes people are going to go down is just being like, oh, I don't want to play counter magic with her. But she's good with counter magic in Commander. She's good with counter magic in Legacy. She's good with counter magic. It's fine. Right.
Yeah. And I think the fact that she doesn't say as a sorcery. She says on your turn. And so I think there's going to be a lot of times where you may choose just not to use Kess because you're on the value plan instead of the combo plan. And so you're just like, I'll swing in for three, go. And then if they will try and do something during your instep and they've forgotten that you haven't used Kess this turn, and you, there are times where you're just going to get them. You're like, well, I'll remand out of the yard, you know. And the fact that your flashback spells now get, like, remanding them.
Right.
Like, if you cast a card out of the yard with Kess, remand is terrible against it.
Yeah.
Because then you...
Oh, it's so bad.
It gives you so much value if they remand it.
Yeah, this, like,
and remand's one of the better counter spells in modern.
I think the fact that she's also just a 3/4 that can attack everyone... Like, blue-white is going to have a real problem with this card because it can attack into all of their spells. It makes all of their counter magic so much worse because you now get counter magic free every time they try outbidding you on your own turn. And they no longer really can do stuff at the end of their turn.
Yeah, it then allows you to play aggressively with counterspells because you'll be casting out on your turn knowing that you're not losing card advantage.
Right. Yep. Super excited.
Which feels really good for Grixis. Feels like blue-white should be the I'm always sitting on my hands, and Grixis should be the I'm throwing out threats and countering when you...
Well, I think it's like, I mean, Corey Burkhart's got to be super excited now that we previewed this card, friend of the cast, who's like... I don't know if you know this, but famous for being, he's like taken, he's the best Grixis control play, modern player of all time.
Oh, okay.
Is, I think, the statement I would make comfortably. He's taken it to multiple Pro Tour top eights and GP top eights. And I asked him a while back, like, what would, like, what is a good Grixis deck right now? And he's like, well, I have six lists in different directions that you could try out. So now he's got Kess
to work with. This one's for you.
Sweet. Yeah, I don't know. Super happy. Now I can say my favorite card of all time is Kess and not be like, well, I have a modern podcast, so I should say a different card because she's not in modern.
So do you think this means that, you know, we rag on Ben all the time for playing bad brews at tournaments, but then I don't feel like we rag on you enough for not playing at tournaments, period. So do you think now the printing of your favorite card in modern will mean that we will start seeing Alex Kessler at modern GPs playing Kess Grixis decks?
I don't think you'll see me playing in a GP main event, mostly because, but I'll play side of it. I'll play like full day side events all day, or like a PTQ. They sometimes do those that are like one day events. Doing a whole GP when, like, there's so much other stuff to do at a GP, I'm there much more for, like, the social experience and like shopping and going to, like, panels that they do, or waiting in lines for artists to sign things. So, yeah.
Waiting in lines, what I like to do.
Hey.
It's much more fun than playing Magic.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's why I'm excited. I'm really excited that the new Command Zone areas are being added to GPs that you can actually play Commander at instead of, like, hanging out in the food court outside.
Talking to you, GPLA. Well, so now we know a grand total of three cards in Modern Horizons.
Yeah.
And I think this is my favorite one of the three we know.
Yeah, easy.
I mean, I like Sarah the Benevolent. Don't get me wrong. I have a Planeswalker deck that definitely wants to play with her, but...
Wait, remove this piece of the card. This piece right here, which is my name. And I still love every other piece of words on this card.
Yeah.
The fact,
like,
that...
if this was a new card, if we were previewing a new card... We'd be so hyped.
Oh, yeah. It's Snapcaster Mage every turn. Snapcaster Mage has to be, like, maybe the creature I've cast the most in my life. And this is that every turn.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the episode. I am Alex Kessler. This is our producer, Marshall James. Ben Bateman was here previously for the first half of this episode. He'll tell you how John Wick was on Twitter now, like today probably. So you can go back and look at Twitter from back then. To find us on Twitter, I am at Kess Wiley.
I'm at Marsh Unfocused.
Ben is at Ben Bateman Media. And pretty much everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. If you search those things, you'll find us. The podcast is at the MMCast. We make sure, two things. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe. There's also a little bell next to the subscription button. Please click on that. It's really important and helps you get alerted when we're giving out new content. Make sure to comment with what deck archetype that you're most excited to play Kess in the comments on YouTube. If you're listening to this at home, just hang out. Thank you so much for listening. Reviews are also appreciated on iTunes. And then we have a Patreon, and it's kind of how we're able to accomplish all of this stuff. And we really appreciate it if you guys could check that out, donate to it, and just become a Patreon member. And that would be great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.
This has been a production of Time Traveler Media, sending podcasts into the future.